we'll have a lesson, Bible lesson, theology lesson tonight in the beginning. Yes, Matthew 22:37. Love you guys. Praise the Lord. Convention coming up. Yes, prayer on the patio in the morning and at home, wherever you are, and people coming in. Pastor Dennis and Jane came in from Albania. And we're going to hear from him a little later. I'd like you to, if I could get the iPad up here and draw a picture. Let's look at Matthew 22. Well, I'm happy tonight. I don't know. I really am. I'm happy. I don't look like it. I don't sound like it, but I am. Thank you, Lord, for just where we're at in life. What a blessing that you have the grace of God in your life and the new birth. So verse 37, Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself." So those two go together. Loving God and the love in your heart, and then you love people. You love people, and because you have the love of God in you. But how can I love God if I don't know him? Isn't that a good question? If I don't know him, who does not know God? Enemy. Who does not know God in the Bible? All of our thoughts are going through the Bible, right? Who does not love God? Yeah, Satan, Lucifer, who fell, did not have it. If he had loved God, if he knew God, he would not have fallen, but he didn't know God as he could have known God. He didn't know God. Who was the next one? Adam in the Garden of Eden. Did he know God? Yes, in some way. But when he was offered to eat of the fruit, which was forbidden, what did he do? He ate from that tree. And so then he hid himself. And did he know God? In the meaning that we have here tonight, that man does not know. This is Romans 3, 10 to 18. Let's throw that up on the screen. Romans 3, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Let's go. There's none righteous, no, not one. Next verse. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks after God. Why don't you seek after God? Because I don't know God. If you knew God, you would seek after God. Who knew God? Jesus Christ. He loved God with all his heart, all his mind, all his soul, all his strength. How about you and me? How about us?
Yes.
Why? Christ is in us. We are born of Christ. Christ is born in us. Christ knows the Father. You have the Holy Spirit. You know God. And do you love him? That's the first commandment, a great one, is to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Okay, so let's draw a picture here of a tree. Maybe you know this picture because we've done it before. This is a tree, and this is the fruit of the tree. What do we call the fruit? What's the fruit of the tree? Sins. What's the tree itself? Sin. And what's the roots? Iniquity. Is that up there?
Yes.
Okay. Iniquity. Where was iniquity first found? In Satan. Where? In heaven. Oh my. In heaven there was iniquity? Yes. This is a mystery. Where did it come from? We have no explanation. It was in his heart. It was found in Satan, in Lucifer. Iniquity. Basically, it is, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I don't trust God. I don't believe you. I don't trust you. That's what iniquity is. It's our sin nature is rooted in that. Why don't I love God? I don't trust him. I don't know who he is. I don't understand him. I don't seek him. I don't know him. Romans 3:10 to 18. And the result is sins. Let's make up a sin tonight. Okay. I'm a businessman. I have an opportunity to make a lot of money. All I have to do is lie. One lie. I can make a lot of money. If I don't lie, I lose a lot of money. If I don't lie, I'll lose a lot of money. If I lie, I'll make a lot of money. That's a temptation. That's what we do. But behind it, behind the sin on the tree, behind the sin is what? Iniquity. It's iniquity. It's my sin nature, which is basically replacing God. I can make the money. That's me in control. All I have to do is lie. I'm in control. I can make the money. I want the money. So that's what I can do. But behind the sin is a deeper problem. Do you know God? Do you know God? If we know God, what happens? Yeah, we don't sin. We sin in the sense of, I'm not saying we are sinless. I'm saying in that situation, I can make a decision that I love God. And I can't do that because I have the love of God in my heart. I love righteousness. I know God. I make a decision. I believe. I know who God is. God will take care of me. I'm believing in God. That's the issue of our new life. It is, who is God? It's not like fighting with our sins. It's a deeper thing that God has done for us. Turn to Matthew 3 and see what John the Baptist said about this. Chapter 3, verse 10. And now he's talking about the Messiah coming and that he would, you know, where are we in context? He's baptizing people. He's telling them, they are a generation of vipers, verse 7. Their wrath is coming. He's telling them to repent. But I have to be, we have to realize something. People don't repent because they don't understand that. They just say, oh, I shouldn't have lied. Yeah, you shouldn't have lied, but it was a deeper issue. Do you know who God is? Do you know who Almighty God is? Do you know that God made you? Do you know the nature of God? Do you know the holiness of God? The authority of God? Do you know what this is? Do we realize this? And unfortunately, as Christians, sometimes we don't get it. But the purpose of us assembling is that it be rehearsed in our hearts. In our minds, we think about it and relate to it and make some decisions in our hearts about it. Go to Matthew 3 and verse 10. Now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which brings not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Look at my tree up on the screen. Is that tree coming down? That's what he's saying. The Messiah will take this tree down. That's what he's saying. Now has come, not pruning. You know, that's our society takes and prunes the trees to try to make a better world. But our Messiah says, you cannot make a better world with these trees. The tree has to come down by an axe. And the axe is the cross. The cross is where we are crucified. Not remedial medication, not remedial reformation, not social reformation, not government, not money, but the axe goes to the root of the tree. That's the Messiah. That's the new life. That's what happened to us. We are born again. The Spirit of God came into us and gave us a new life. Let's look at Ezekiel 3 for a subpoint here that relates Ezekiel 2, actually, Ezekiel 2, verse 1. He said unto me, Son of man, stand upon your feet, and I will speak unto thee. And I want to put in there, I'm going to interject here. I can't stand on my feet. God said to the prophet Ezekiel, stand on your feet. And we could all say, I can't stand on my feet. What am I going to do about it? The Lord says, stand on your feet. And you counter and just say, what? What are you talking about? Look at verse 2. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. What happened? The Spirit did it. The Spirit caused me to stand on my feet. How do you know God? It must be the Spirit that God saves you, and now you have the Spirit in you. Look at chapter 3, same principle, chapter 3, verse 1. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. What did he say? Son of man, eat the scroll. What is a scroll? It's the scripture. Eat the scroll. Eat the word of God. Eat the scroll. Eat the scripture. Well, people don't eat paper. Right? We don't eat paper, but look at what happened, verse 2. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said, Son of man, cause your belly to eat, and fill your bowels with this roll that I give you. And then I did eat it, and it was my mouth as honey for sweetness. He became a prophet by eating the scripture. Well, how do you eat the scripture? The Spirit causes you to eat the scripture. How do you stand up? The Spirit causes you to stand up. Well, how does your life change? The axe is laid to the root right here on in our picture here. It's like the tree is taken down. We are born of God. We have found a new life. Now you got a phone call, you can make a lot of money, you can lie. But there's something else now in your life. I can't lie. Why? Because of God. I found God. God is real. God is my Savior. Jesus is real for me. What did Jesus do? Turn to Ezekiel 36, 26. Verse 26. How can you change rebellious people? How can you change Israel? There's a great verse, Ezekiel 11:5. I want to draw your attention to it. Put that up on the screen, please. 11:5. And the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me and said, Thus saith the Lord, thus have you said, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. I'm going a little fast here, but I think you can catch it here. Okay. The Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, said, Speak, thus have you, O house of Israel, for I know the things that come into your mind, every one of them. That's God saying to Israel, I know every thought that comes into your mind. I know every one of them. I know the idolatry. I know the whole thing. I know everything that comes into your mind because God is all-knowing. Well, God, what are you going to do about it? We are sinners. We are consumed with our sin. I just have to tell a lie over the phone and I make a lot of money. I mean, what am I going to do? And God says, do you know me? Do you know that I take care of you? Do you know that I am the Almighty God? Do you know that I am righteous? Do you know my nature? Do you have love in your heart for me? And many of us can say, yes, yes, if not all of us, we can say, yes, I have sensed it. I am drawn to you. I am drawn to your love. I want to follow you. I want to believe you. Instead of my sin, I like to know you. What a great model that is. Instead of sinning, which is easy to do, because we are sinners, instead of sinning, run a risk. Take a dive. Make a decision. Believe in him. Trust him. Go by faith. And look at what Ezekiel 36:26 says. A new heart will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And that's fun. It's not fun to have a stony heart. It's fun to have a heart of flesh, isn't it? It's fun to feel things. It's fun to have feeling. I remember one of our people in another country, he said he's a professional guy, but he was a pretty tough guy and a serious guy. And he said he hadn't had any emotions, I think, for 17 years. He hadn't had any emotions, could care less about people, care less about things, but he's just dead. He said, I'm dead. He'd been dead. He told me this story. And he said, when I accepted Jesus, I just started crying. And I was so happy that I had feeling. I was so happy that I had tears. It was the first thing I had felt in like 17 years. I hadn't had any feelings. That God gave me, in my words, God gave him a heart of flesh. He could feel the love, the affection, the joy, the holiness, the peace, the new life. That's what God did. God did it. Who saved you? God saved you. How did it happen? He took an axe to the tree at the cross. He gave us his son so we could come alive and we could love God. And on the phone, I could say, I can't lie. I'm a Christian. I can't lie. And you know, you can lie. It's easy. Just don't worry about it. Everybody does it and everything. And say, yeah, but I live before a holy God. And I am trusting in the nature of God, the God that made me, God that put me on the earth. This is what Adam and Eve couldn't do. Adam and Eve, they just say, you know, hey, we could do that. You know, our eyes will be open. We'll be like gods. You know, let's go for it. And Jesus would say, no, I'm not doing that. Jesus did say, I delight to do my Father's will. I delight in him. I do always what I see him do. I am saying what he says. I'm following him in my life. And if he slay me, I will trust him. And at Gethsemane, he said, take the cup away, please. Take it away, remember? And the Father did not. And he just said, your will be done, and he did it. And we see him being highly exalted above every living, everything in the whole universe as we know, as our Messiah and our Savior. How about us? Can we taste of that? Yes. It's the first commandment, the main thing that has affected our life, that we love him and actually we know him in some measure. Turn to Hosea 6, please. And we'll read it there. Hosea 6. in verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. If we follow on to know the Lord. Now, Pastor Dennis and Jane have lived 16 years in Albania. By faith, they gave everything up to Jesus, like so many people we know, that so many people we come together every year. We have fellowship with each other. Nobody's better than anybody. Somebody working in living in Rosedale, working at a job, faithful, raising a family, or however we are living. We're not comparing, but I am saying there are people amongst us who have said, you know, I don't know how this is going to work, but I want to live not for my clothes or my money or my house or my family. I want to live for Jesus. I want to follow on to know Jesus. And whatever he will give me, he will take care of me. He will bless me with my family, my mind, my heart. He will bless me with our ministry. He will bless us in our mission. He will bless us with the work of grace that he does. Because he causes it to happen. Stand on your feet. And then the Spirit came in Ezekiel and he stood on his feet. Eat the scroll. He caused me to eat, and I did eat it, and it was sweet. And I am amazed at who God is in taking care of us in our lives. Look at verse 3. And shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord? His going forth is prepared as the morning. We will see what he's doing. His going forth, we'll see what he's doing, and he shall come unto us as the rain and as the latter and former rain unto the earth. He will come to the earth, but as the rain comes to the earth. He will come in your life like rain comes, like gently falling. He will come. You will know him as you go on to know him. Let's turn to John 12, please. One last text here, John 12:24. The Greek said we would see Jesus, and Jesus answered and said this. It was a very interesting answer. Yeah, the Greeks came to see him, maybe to talk to him, find out about him. But he said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it shall abide alone. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So there's a death there. Death. Remember the rice? There were grains of rice found in an Egyptian pyramid. Grains of rice that they estimated those grains of rice, they were very dry. They didn't rot, they didn't germinate, they were very dry. In the Egyptian pyramid, I heard it, read about it, and they were 2,000 years old, and they were planted, and they grew. Imagine. If it doesn't die, it doesn't bear fruit. It abides alone. There are a lot of people, this tree up here, the tree of sin, is a tree of loneliness, complication, confusion, guilt, etc. It's not a good tree. It's not good fruit. It's not a good tree. But if it dies, if an axe is taken to the tree, if the grain of wheat dies, then it bears fruit. Look at verse 25 and 26. He that loves his life shall lose it. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. Let's go back to the sin. What sin could you make up? What story could you make up about sinning? Have a good time. Just go out and sin. Have a good time and go out and sin. Have pleasure. Go out or cheat or do something. Yeah, like, what could we do? We all are sinners. We know about it. We all know about that. But what if we surrender and we say, God, I know I can sin. I'm a sinner. I'm good at it. I know I can sin. I can convince myself. But I miss you. I don't have you. I miss you. I want to know you. If I fall on to know you, I will know you. And you're going forth as the latter, the early rain and the latter rain. I want to know that. And then Jesus says this. Look at verse 26. If a man serve me, let him follow me. And you keep following Jesus. Let's close with that. You just keep following Jesus with all your heart. You just keep at it and follow him with all your heart. And you are. I mean, you're great, great people. And we're here because it's in our hearts. And it says here, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, which is, I think, a message in itself, isn't it? Where I am, you will be there. Where I am, I'm on the cross, you will be there with me. I'm in the tomb, you will be buried with me. I'm raised from the dead, you will be with me. I have sent up into heaven at the right hand, you will be with me there. Where I am, that's where you will be with me. You'll be with me in the dark alleyway or in the ghetto, or you'll be with me in the poverty. Some brother said to me today, nobody said my life had to be great. I go, could you repeat that? In all my counseling, I don't ever, never hear people say that. He goes, yeah, nobody said my life had to be great, so I have trouble. I have trouble, but that, you know, I have God. It's my word in it. We have God. Our life doesn't have to be great. We've got God. And where he is, we are with him. We have God. We have the Almighty God, the meditation of God, the nature of God, the contemplation of God, the worship of God. We are submitted to God. Isn't that good?
Amen.
Okay, let's finish here. It says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You hang up the phone. I told the truth. In this case, and that's all. You go to bed. You lost a lot of money. Things don't look so good. That's how I live. Let's see what happens. What happens? I don't know. But it's more fun. It's a better life to honor God in our heart and love him with all our heart, our soul, and our mind. And learn his ways and trust him in our lives and do the right thing and trust him with all our heart. And he will honor us. He will honor us. He will honor us in our lives. He'll honor your prayer. He'll honor your footsteps. He'll honor your life, your short life of 70 years. He honors your life, and you greatly glorify God because you have decided that I could live in sin and make it my way, or I can put my trust in him and do it God's way, and I'd rather trust him and God go on and know who he is and have his presence in my life. And have his spirit in us and cause us to do things that we would not do. Stand up. And he caused us to stand up.
Yes.
Eat the scroll. He caused us to eat the scroll. Follow me. And he caused us. Follow me. I will make you a fisher. He caused us to be a fisher of men. He caused us to have an impact in Albania. He caused us to be into different places. He caused us to be in Baltimore to make an impact, to have graduations like we had the last 2 weeks, and fellowship and encouragement and a life of faith. I'm not saying that in any way we are perfect people. I'm just saying God put in us a desire to follow him and to know him and to love him and trust him in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, God bless you.
Well, just for a couple of minutes, I just want to talk a little bit about what's happening in Albania. I just wanted to make sure they took the sin tree down. because the angle of vision might put me as a fruit up on one of those branches. I don't want that. I just don't want you to know me that way, actually. But hey, this is convention season. And yeah, you.
Yeah. We have a map of Albania.
You have a map of Albania?
Yeah, I don't think I told you that.
No.
There it is. Yeah.
All right, there we are.
Yeah, I wanted to just because we're geography people, right? Yeah, we're learning geography all the time.
So yeah.
Thanks, Pastor.
Because many Americans don't know where Albania is. It's right on the Adriatic Sea. It's beautiful. It's Mediterranean climate, palm trees and all that stuff. It's a beautiful country. Great coastline, great mountains in the north. All of those countries you see there, we've done missions trips in. Montenegro, Kosovo, it used to be Macedonia. Now it's North Macedonia, Bulgaria, and Greece. And this year we're going to Greece. And we're going to spend a week following Paul. I may have to adjust it because you were right this afternoon. He did go by sea from Berea down to Athens. And I thought he went by land. We're not going to go by sea, but we're going to travel with Paul through his second missionary journey from Philippi through Thessaloniki, Berea, and all of those. It's going to be a lot of fun if you want to join us for that. We really appreciate your prayers for these things. We have two conferences, one in the north, one in the south this summer. You can see all of that on ggwo.org. I don't want to walk away too much from that message I just heard. That was amazing. That was something that, you know, I need to hear continually. You know, I need to be connected to Baltimore. And that's really what I was considering as I was sitting there and Pastor Schaller asked me to speak about the beautiful country where we minister. Each spring we try to get down here for convention. And you are Baltimore. And I was thinking how when Jesus went into Jerusalem for that last week in John chapter 12, it says he went to Bethany. Now it seems like that's where he slept those nights that he was in Jerusalem that last week of his earthly life before the crucifixion. But he would always go back to Bethany. Now he had his 12 guys and he ministered to them and he loved them and he taught them and he had the multitude that he was teaching continually. But he had Lazarus and Mary and Martha. And it says that he was his friend, and he was the one that Jesus loved. And that's Baltimore for us missionaries, that we come here because, you know, we can take the armor off, but not take the spirituality, I suppose, off, not take the ministry off. We often turn to Psalm 133, but when we read it, it's fresh every time because that's us. That's the unity of the brethren. That's how beautiful, how precious it is. And we've started. The ball has begun to roll from GGCA to MBCNS and now into convention. And the missionary is going to be coming in off the field. And they're going to be coming to the house of Lazarus. They're going to be coming to Baltimore to, you know, eat at people's homes and fellowship with people they haven't seen in way too long. And it's so refreshing to come back to this place and be part of this one more time and hear messages like that one. I mean, we listen to messages online and on YouTube, but there is something about being here. So I just want to thank you. We are going to have a missions trip if you want to talk to me about it. It's going to be very missionary oriented. I don't have a lot of details. We're just going to jump in a van. We're going to go to Greece and we're going to do some street preaching and evangelism and looking at places where Paul walked and just have a great time. So if you want to be part of that, we'd love to have you. I think I'm going to be with the rep tonight, so if you have any questions on that. So that's all I wanted to say was we love you. We appreciate Baltimore. Keep Albania in your prayers. In the other countries where the missionaries are, look at the missions website and pray over the different continents and the different pastors and teams and churches. Okay, love you.
Altar call? Do you mind doing an altar call?
Yeah. I'm sorry, but maybe somebody here doesn't know God. You know, we take it for granted. I hope not. Maybe not. But we know God. We want to know him. We want to know the power of his resurrection. And we know the fellowship of his sufferings. But maybe you don't know. Maybe you don't go to bed tonight knowing you got your name written in heaven, that you have a place amongst the saints of heaven. If you're not sure, please, tomorrow is uncertain. No one knows if tomorrow will come or what it will bring. But we can go to bed tonight, as most of us do, hopefully all of us do, knowing for certain that our eternal home is in heaven. But if you don't, if you're not sure, if you know God, if you know him religiously, but you don't have that spirit causing you to know him, please tonight, receive him as your Savior. He died for your sins, and he rose again. Please say, Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. Be my God. If you're praying that tonight, would you please lift your hand so one of the ushers could see that you're saying, yes, tonight you want to be, you want to have an eternal salvation. Is there one? Oh, I hear one. No. Well, praise. Father, thank you for this night. Please let us not leave this place and forget what we heard. Cause us to stand. Cause us to eat your word. Cause us to fellowship in the new heart by your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.